Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee, and on this week's show, we have Anthony Rosenbaum. Anthony has been aware of spirit and healing energy from a young age and had a spirit guide who advised him. He studied meditation, which became a very expedient way for spirit to enhance its dialogue with him, and he worked mediumistically, holding a home circle, and for 6 years ran a medium-based self-development open circle at the London Spiritual Mission, where he was a director and gave various talks. Anthony is a trance overshadow medium who is consulted by those who wish to have a spiritual and practical overview of the purpose of their life and understand their karmic and past history to overcome obstacles, which helps them move forward and create more expanded, calmer, and more satisfying lives. He also provides a direct form of channel healing in person, online, or absent. Anthony works in collaboration with Spirit Academy, devised by Jamie Coombs. Along with other practitioners, they bring different healing and self-development modalities together in one place, tailor-made for clients' best and most appropriate needs, assuring them of full attention, confidentiality, and support. They work individually and together, providing one-on-one sessions, workshops, and retreats. Welcome to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, on this really hot summer's day in England. So, honestly, Anthony, we're really, really pleased for you to give all of our audience the information and your divine wisdom about being a medium and what it all entails, because it's just fascinating. So first of all, can you please tell us about being aware of spirit and the healing energy from a young age and how that happened and your dynamic internal guidance from your guide?
So I grew up in a fairly uncomfortable environment, a fairly stressful environment. And because of that, I was fairly aloof, quite shy. And I think the introduction by Tadoon, who's my spirit guide, came at a point when I really felt quite separate from everybody, not really heard, not really listened to. But I noticed that rather than harumphing inside my head or little moans to myself, I was actually getting a different voice, but this time it wasn't within my head. It was a feeling. It was from my sense of instinct, from my heart. And it was accompanied by a big swelling of support and love and compassion, which was in such contrast with how I was, the thoughts I was having at the time. And because of that, and because it was quite different from what I'd experienced before, I knew it was something else. I got to feel that it was an outside communication. He didn't at first really introduce himself in the sense that he didn't say, I am Tadoon and I am this and I am that. What he did do was calm me down and start to give little bits of insight of how I should consider that other people may also not be very happy. And it's because of that that they were behaving in the way that they were, and therefore perhaps start to look at things differently. Now, I was very young at that time, and it was explained, communicated in a way which was appropriate for my age then.
Mm.
But it built up and it became more explanatory and broadened the older I became.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And then, you know, you went into your spirit, into your spiritual mediumship. And how was you made aware by spirit of your channel healing ability, which was also affected from a great distance? How was how did you come into that? I mean, I know that you had various, you went to various, channelers, and you had lots of mentors and all that over the years. But how was the initial, right? I it was sometimes, because for people it's given to them, isn't it? Or it's just,
Yeah.
it from spirit, and it's a way of using that. How did you understand that?
So building upon the internal dynamic that I was having with Tadoon, as I started to trust it more and to trust it by seeing that how I handle things would get a better result than how I had previously. This sort of bled, I suppose, into the intercommunications and the relationships I was having with people. I was able to calm them down a bit more. I was able to maneuver and navigate in ways that I might not have done beforehand. And then it then became more apparent, more tangible. When one day I was in the wood opposite where we lived, I was brought up in Welwyn Garden City, and there's a lovely wood opposite, directly opposite where we lived. And I was in there alone, wandering around. And I became aware, just a sense, an instinct, that I wasn't alone. There were other things around me, although there was nobody visible. Although I feel that my memory may have altered from that, because I keep being nudged by Tadoon to say, actually, yes, you did see them, but I'm not sure about that. The jury's out. But it was a circle. I could feel it was a circle. And I could feel that these were very kind, but authoritative energies around me. It was not a two-way conversation. It was very much we've brought you here into this environment so that you could hear what we're going to suggest to you. And what they suggested was, you've had an introduction to communicating with something. They didn't say somebody, something which you can't see. I never saw Tadoon. In my mind's eye, I've had fleeting images, but I've never seen him in terms of physically seeing him. But we can build upon that if you like the idea of it. You've seen that you can alter how other people can feel. You can make people feel safer. And you can behave in a way that perhaps some of your school friends, or although I didn't have many of those at the time, and other people react. They didn't use the word special, but they sort of intimated that I was different, let's say.
A channel,
A
you're
chip,
working in, opening
exactly.
yourself up as a channel.
Exactly. And I didn't understand that at the time. I mean, I, like everybody of my age, I was fascinated by wizards and ghosts and all the rest of it, but we all knew they were sort of stories. This was real. I was actually communicating, talking. And whilst they were talking, I felt this enormous sense of uplift and warmth and love and generosity where there was no requirement. And because I consider them adult, as it were, as a child would perceive them. They were very different from the adults that I was not necessarily having the greatest time with. So it was an introduction to how one could be. And they said, as I just pointed out, that they suggested that if I wanted to later on, I could explore, and that I should seek out people who are like me. And this is way before the internet, of course. So it was a question of I can't actually remember how I found them, but I found them.
And they enhanced your ability, and you grow more confident in, in that ability, and realizing I am a channel, for spirit. Because it's really funny that you said about that circle, because it reminded me of when I was young and I started meditating and I felt them all around me in a circle. It was really powerful. Yeah, it was amazing.
Glorious, isn't it?
Guiding us.
It really set me up beautifully for the future. And it really gave me hope. And also because I was able to do this and nobody else seemed to be able to do this, I did question, am I a bit of a nutter?
Course.
Is this just in my head? But this was very definitely not in my head.
And you felt divinely protected. You see, that's what I think is the most important, because so many people are scared of spirit, of mediumship, of the other side, the dark spirits. But I'm saying I've never ever had that around me. I've always felt divinely protected, and in that peaceful, blissful place when I go into that meditation and, connect always.
Absolutely. Well, what I discovered later on, and is a very, very big part of the teachings that I provide, that it is the head that makes these things scary, not your essential self, your fundamental self, which comes through your heart and your instinct. When the head feels that it's losing control, then it brings all sorts of fears. And as a child, of course, you get excited by fear. It is exciting. When you don't need or wish for that any longer, or at least your natural state of being rather than an entertainment, you realize that when you put your awareness into other areas of your system, then you work with it, and it's the last thing that's scary. It's everything you just said, it's supportive, it's loving, it's glorious.
Exactly. And people should not be scared, because it's just the unknown, but when I say when you're connected to the divine, to spirit, that's divine love, and you'll never be alone.
No, I mean the mind is, in my opinion, based on fear, on
Ego.
vulnerability. We come out of our mothers and we're utterly dependent upon everything, food and love and shelter and all the rest of it. And we are utterly dependent upon. And there's that narrative running through us to a greater or lesser degree throughout our lives. And we depend upon that which keeps us safe. So when we have the instinct to start listening to something else other than what we've been relying upon all our lives, of course, it requires us to find an intention which goes beyond what we've utilized before. And that's always a bit scary until we get excited by it. Once we've got the knack for it.
Because as a yogini, I believe, the spiritual world, heaven, which is our true home, the heavenly realms, we our soul is always there. We are soul consciousness. We are energetic spiritual beings, and our soul is always there. And when we're born, a part of that comes down into physicality, into as the soul consciousness, into this. We are always there, that we are always connected to it. We just have to realize and awaken to that. You're always connected to divine love. You're always divinely protected. And I think that's one thing that's kept me beautiful and safe throughout all of my, through that. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Absolutely. It's realizing that the brain in our heart center, obviously not our physical heart, it's the chakra that aligns with it, that is what can be trusted and a true relationship built upon, not the processor that is our mind that
The true self,
navigates
the
in
true
different
self comes
ways.
through. Yeah, the true self, the true divine self comes through.
Absolutely. The other thing I think is very important to state is that none of us has the ownership of the truth. There isn't the truth. It's our perspective. As one of my tutors always said, if you imagine that you're sitting in a circle around a huge crystal, which is faceted, you will see the light bounce off and the colors differently from everybody else that's sitting around that same thing. So when people say, oh no, this is the truth,
No,
no, it's not.
it's all different sacred points of view. Many people will see one thing, and each one will see it, in a different way. So it's our sacred point of view. But I believe that everyone has the we're coming into, I believe we're in a great awakening. I believe that we all have these abilities, and especially now, it's like fastening it up. And so many people are realizing that they can have a connection to the divine, to spirit, and that, they can give out spiritual healing, through themselves and uplift,
Absolutely.
the whole world. This is the time for us to go in and do our work and then give that out, and what you're doing is just really wonderful. And so,
Can I just add a little thing
yeah,
to that?
sure, of course.
I think it's also very important for people to know that titles don't change anything.
No.
You can be any kind of religion, come from any dogma. You can be an atheist. You can be an agnostic. It's the title. It can be anything from, oh, well, I felt that with no spiritual, affiliation whatsoever, to somebody who is a yogi or a yoga who will retreat and will be in a meditative state most of their conscious life. It can be everything. So we are, from my perspective, all, as exactly as you said, we are all connected. It's the labeling that gets in the way.
And you're so true about that. No one is higher than anyone. Someone with a master's degree, may not even open themselves up holistically. It's all relative. It's all relative. And we can communicate, once you start becoming more aware and start going in and start meditating more, which you said is the way that you enhance your dialogue with spirit, and same with me. I think it's the key way of communicating with the divine. But then, you get signs. There's all different ways you can hear. It's your divine intuition, isn't it? So you can hear words, which come to me now, or some people see the visions. Some people have just an intuitive knowing of which way, to go. And then they go out into nature, and then all these beautiful, nature comes to them, which is spirit, because everything is connected to everything else, giving them, the answers to their problem. Beautiful butterfly flying on their face just when they needed that important, change is coming. Dragon, all these beautiful, feathers and all these things, they're all from spirit. The numbers, the numerology, the numbers aren't coming up all the time, all the triple number,
Yes.
helping us, giving us motivation, giving us reassurance.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. It strengthens the connection more and more and more. Again, even if it's not labeled as such, you know, somebody who is spiritual isn't looking for converts.
No.
Somebody who is spiritual is there to support and help people as they walk through their existence. And if helpful, to point out where these synchronicities happen so that people can see a pattern emerging, can see a sense of safety within it, rather than seeing it as alien and something to be scared of, to see actually everything and everyone is connected. Let's find the safety in that. Let's find what joins us, which this absolutely is the fundamental basis of, rather than what separates us. And then we can all move together and feel far happier.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. It really is. And this is the time. This is the time of unity consciousness and love awareness and, you know, coming together to enhance one another, enhance each other through our gifts. And it's so important what you said, because a true leader does not make followers. A true spiritual healer has to heal themselves first, become the healed healer. But that healer enhances the higher self of the other to therefore help that higher self in that person heal themselves. You know, yeah. We're all here to give them the tools so that they can be and embody their healer within. You know, so that they can embody their spiritual connection within and to make other leaders and other people who can help others. So it just goes out. Everyone's light starts lighting up.
Well, the point is that we're here to broaden energy, spiritual resonance, to raise the vibration of everything.
Exactly.
And when people realize that, you, as you said, you lead by example, you lead through a sense of connection. Everything grows. We can see in a physical sense the challenge of that, because whilst we see the growth from the work that people like us do, we can also see that there's the contrast to that. But that is the human experience. We learn through contrast.
Exactly.
And we can see the extent of work and how the work can be approached because of what we're doing. We name ourselves as spiritual, but actually we're just the ones that are at the stage in our particular growth span where it's come to the surface.
Yes,
We can make it tangible. It's not tangible, but you know what I mean. We can make it our focus and expand upon it. But doing so whilst we're individually growing, we're never a finished product. Anybody who says, oh, you know, I've been through it all and I'm at
the end. You're always evolving. It never stops.
And the point is that we can't help people unless we personally feel an authentic empathy, not sympathy, an empathy, a connective love that has a vibration which is in parallel. And unless we have that, if we're below it or we're above it without connecting to it, then it is not effective.
Exactly.
So everybody grows. No, as you said before, absolutely right. Mm. Nobody's higher or lower. We may be at different stages, but that's all it is. We're just evolving in different ways with different lessons this time.
That's right. And what you said is, and I believe that, you know, we all have to go. I believe that the whole world is going for a dark night of the soul, collectively and individually. We all go for our dark nights. And it's a very lonesome time. You go inward, you go through into the shadow, you look at them dark parts of yourself, you know, you leave your job, you leave your husband, because they aren't part of your growth. You're growing. You need to, you know, lose everything, because the breakdown is the breakthrough, you know, to come through. And the contrast, that contrast brings us to the precipice and forces us to change, forces us to awaken, forces us to look at it. There is a different way. You know, what brings us, we lose everything that was not love to bring us back to that place of love, that self-love, you know. Yes. That's what I think. It's just, yes.
It brings us back to the point of what was discussed before, we talked about before, of vulnerability at birth. We need to keep rebirthing ourselves. Everything is by example. Whereas before, on the face of it, it was purely a physical thing. It's not at all. It's an energetic introduction, from my perspective, this time, because I believe in reincarnation very strongly.
So do I.
But the challenges that you were just talking about are rebirths each time. We have to allow ourselves the vulnerability to lean into what is brought to us. Now, again, those who don't feel spiritually aware will say, well, it's just circumstance. Things come in life. Somebody from my perspective, and I'm getting the feeling from yours too, we bring them about ourselves in tandem with spirit.
Yes.
For the purposes of growth.
Self-creation.
And anything new, growing pains, is vulnerable. So we start to depend on ourselves, or let's say the connection we have with our instinct, again, whether we call it just gut instinct or just our minds, or in our case with spirit.
Yes.
But we lean into it, and by doing so, it's rewarded by more being brought to us.
Yes.
Our lives expand, our insight expands, and the ability to help more in pertinent ways becomes more refined.
Exactly, because that's what Rumi said. The wound is where the light enters.
Exactly.
You know, that's what it is. We must go through the dark to raise up and embrace the light, you know.
And absolutely. And the wound, like any physical wound, is there to draw one's attention to healing that's required. So whether it's a physical malaise or physical wound, or whether it is a political something that's going on somewhere, or a disastrous relationship that's going there, they are there for us to learn from. They're not there to punish.
No.
or create negativity for the sake of negativity.
Yes.
They're there so that we can shine our light and emboss with light and courage and grow and expand.
Yes.
Together, and to show it on a large scale. Well, a large scale can be within a family dynamic, or it can be on the world stage.
That's right.
But it's about showing, if we perhaps approach it this way, we can bring about balance. Whatever it is that's leading you to work in a negative way, which is fear, another form of fear that comes through aggression or anger or whatever it is, we can make you feel safe by showing that you can have sovereignty.
Yeah.
You can feel strong in yourself without then subjugating others or making other people feel bad.
Without becoming a victim.
Totally.
Becoming the creator, you know, and realizing everything is self-created for our higher good, everything we go through. So therefore, we save ourselves, and we have to make peace with it, do the inner work on it, to make peace with it, bring peace into our lives, to bring peace into the world. You know, it's we save ourselves. That's what it says in Mary Magdalene's gospel. That's the three words that stood out for me. We save ourselves.
Absolutely. And we do it as an interactive connection with what we're working with. We learn at the same level as they do. It may not be pronounced in the same way. The results may not be so obvious, but we're enhancing ourselves. And that enhancement is not ego. It's humility. It's the opposite.
Yes.
We become more melded into the energy where the mind has no charter.
Yes.
It just isn't anything other than a commentary of this. It's an awareness tool. It's the heart. It's the feeling. It's that euphoria, that sense of integration. of feeling part of everything. And what can be more marvelous than feeling held by everything?
That is so true. And I believe it's not service selfishness. It's not service to self. It's service to others, service to humanity. This is what raises our kundalini more than anything. You know, years ago, the rishis used to go in to the Himalayas and stay in their cave for 50 years and become enlightened. But the world it needs us so much that we cannot do that now. We go into a cave, we enlighten, and we get as much as we can for ourselves, and then we give it out to humanity to help raise them, give them the tools that we've used, the tools on ourselves to raise us. That's what it's all about, service to humanity.
I absolutely agree. I would also say that those who have cloistered themselves away or still do so, whether there is an order of nuns or monks, etc., etc., whichever.
They're still raising the elevation of.
They're raising the elevation. People often wonder what their role is, and it can be seen to be really self-indulgent. No, they're through their own growth, in the same way as we do in the outside world, through our own learning, we raise our own vibration and that expands. But they're doing it in a very focused way to help all of us.
Yes.
It's not
they're
a physical
doing a higher, thing. They're doing it on a higher level because they're giving out so much. They're changing, they are transmuting the negative into the positive.
Exactly.
And, you know, yeah, that's why we're like householder mediums, householder yogis, because we're doing it, you know, in the world, which is quite difficult to keep that balance sometimes.
It is, especially when ego gets in the way.
Mm.
We all know that working in this environment, we come across people who feel that their ability makes them superior and special.
Mm.
When in fact, we're a kind of drain pipe. Well, the work that I do as a medium, I open myself up for spirit to talk through me. I'm a drain pipe. Now, the drain pipe might be an old iron one with sediment, the sediment being my experience and my what I resonate with. So it does draw and take that within the water that comes through the pipe. But essentially, we're drain pipes.
Yes.
You know, we're not gods. We're nothing else. We just have an ability in the way that pianists do or singers do.
Yes.
You know, it's just what we've chosen this time to do.
Yes. We're God's children because we have the divine spark, the soul within. We are the God. We are.
That says everybody.
We have that. Yes, we all have that. We all have that. But we are the vessels of bringing the divine love light energy and giving it out.
It's also for anybody who is interested in this work for themselves rather than an intellectual thing. We all have the ability.
Mm.
It's the degree to which our minds and our cultures, everything that we've adopted will allow the simmering down of needing to answer everything.
Mm.
Because this isn't about answers. This is more about questions and involved experience than answers. It's not about satisfying the fearful mind of I need to know, and I need to have the answers, and that needs to be controlled, etc. It's the opposite. It's the relinquishing of that.
Surrendering. It's the surrendering. Yes.
Which is why I'm so happy to see that certain elements of the scientific fraternity are allowing that more and more.
Well, spirituality and science, they're coming together now.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because for those who need that reassurance, who need to have proof in ways which a scientific experiment would not generally prove.
Yes.
There are other proofs, and that's what we're entering into more and more now.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And so you are a trance overshadow medium.
Yes.
You help people, you know, through spiritual and practical way overviews, you know, for the purpose of their life, understand the karmic and past life history to overcome problems. Can you describe that? A trance overshadow medium. How does that happen?
It's an expansion of what I had from a little one. It's a feeling. I will, depending on the kind of work. So there's a difference between trance and overshadow.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different levels of trance as well.
Mm.
So trance is where you allow yourself to get into a meditative state whereby your mind is quietened and your awareness is from the areas we were talking about before, the heart and the instinct mostly. So we have, as I'm sure everybody listening is likely to know, that we have an energy around us, the auric, and within that are energy centers called the chakras. And depending on where the energy is focused, or the entry point, is the type of communication or insight or information that we receive. When we then focus on those access points rather than the interaction with the mind, we can receive information which the mind wouldn't be privy to. And that's what trance does.
Yes.
So by getting into a meditative state, it slows down the thinking process, which then takes away the second guessing, the assumptions, the rational, and so forth, to something which is direct, that you just feel it.
Yes.
And a trance medium will allow their guide or guides to use this center, the throat chakra, and the heart and solar plexus chakras often, to allow that stream of information to come directly out.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, there are different forms of trance medium. Some go into such a deep trance, they don't know what on earth is going on. It's like a sleep. And the voice comes through using their vocal cords, giving information and having an interaction with the person sitting there. Then there is a lighter version of that, which is what I am.
Yes.
Where you're sort of sitting to the side, you're witnessing it. But you feel it. You just allow the feeling to come through your heart, your instinct, out of your mouth, and you'll have a conversation, but the conversation is your guide.
Yes.
It sounds a lot spookier than it is.
Yes, yes.
Some people will receive from a guide who's chosen a particular incarnation, and that person may be from abroad, mm-hmm. And may have a slightly different voice or a totally different voice. It can be a subtle thing. Mine apparently doesn't change tremendously. It gets slightly tighter, I've been told. Mm. Then overshadow mediumship is a collaborative work. So the groups that I've run, circles that I've run, have been that, where I get into a meditative state, but not as deeply as with trance. And I feel words coming through, but I also am aware that I'm drawing from my experience as well. But it's spontaneous. Mm. There's no thinking time. Mm. Any authentic mediumship is instantaneous. When people have to think, when there are lots of ums and ahs, it's where the brain is getting involved. Yes. And you know that it's not authentic. It's different from psychic work. Mm. Psychic work is where auras have an exchange, where the psychic will draw back and forth from the aura of the person in front of them. And then there will be a sense of trying to work out what's being shown, what's being drawn. That's not the same with this kind of work at all.
Yes, that's beautiful, you know, because the more, stilling the mind and getting out of the thinking, like becoming becoming the observer, just being in alignment. When you get into that peaceful, aligned state, you're allowing divine intelligence, spirit, guides to come in, you know, and I believe it comes in, like sometimes it could come in many ways. It could come in through the pineal photons of light, energy as information that makes you, go on to, that helps you with a problem. That's what, Einstein, he used to say, the biggest times I got my influence was when I closed my eyes and became quiet.
Absolutely.
When have you got out of the thinking mind? That's so important.
Absolutely. And there are times when you don't even necessarily need to do that.
Yeah.
You can be doing something. In fact, I've had some of my best interactions and downloads of information when I've been doing something really mundane.
Mm.
And I have to say, I have this dreadful addiction for a particular game on my phone. It's a solitaire. It couldn't be simpler. But it's fantastic because it diverts the thinking process. It focuses and it allows information to come through. It's you can be doing anything which is mundane, repetitive. It doesn't have to be pronounced and profound and, oh, wow, there's a lightning moment. Not at all.
No.
You can be in the shower.
Yeah.
And you just have that sense of knowing something is being imparted to you.
Yes.
Conveyed to you at that window.
Yes. I mean, in the book, Conversations with God, which is just incredible, it says God is talking, spirit is talking to you all the time. But who listens? Who trusts that voice? And now I'm trusting it more and more and more because I realize the difference between the egoic mind voice and the spirit guide higher self voice, And it's the first intuitive instinct, the loving, the peaceful one, which comes through because we wake up every day to either go with that lower voice or the true one. It's our choice, isn't it? And it's really important to not disregard it. Oh, it's just no. It's your self-talk. Your self-talk is you, your higher self, talking to you through spirit.
Yes.
Trust.
Spirit Academy was founded by a fantastic medium healer called Jamie Coombs. We met because I was running a circle and she came to it and was a regular. And we connected immediately. The way that we operate, our energies worked very, very well. They blended very well. And she decided that she felt that there was a requirement for people to find somewhere where they can have more insight into their lives or and healing in ways which are approachable, different ways, so that people don't have to go down a particular route, that they can have different approaches and a mixture of different approaches under one umbrella.
Yes.
So Jamie asked if I would be interested in becoming part of that, myself and other practitioners, to work with her in this way, so that we meet people, they have a consultation where they share what it is that's where they are and what it is they're looking for. And between us, Jamie and I then come up with a plan and discuss it with them of what we would propose, why we would propose it, and go from there. And it works very, very well. It works extremely well. It can be a talking thing. It can be a physical thing through different modalities of healing. I myself, apart from the mediumship we talk about, I do a form of channel healing where energy comes through me.
Beautiful.
And it can work one-on-one. It's a non-touch form of healing that I do. There are different forms that the Academy offers. But I've also worked with people as far as Australia.
Absent.
From here.
Yeah. What about the intention, you know, giving out that love light energy? Yeah. Wow.
I also help people develop their own mediumship, their own abilities.
That is important, yeah.
And I give talks on, as I'm doing today, on spiritual matters, on the meaning of life, from different perspectives and so forth. So that's what the Academy does.
Honestly, I just want to say, Anthony, thank you for such your deep wisdom and insight about life and spirituality. And I just loved talking with you, you know, on this higher spiritual, wonderful level you've taught me. And it was just very, very, very wonderful to listen to you and for all of our audience to learn about mediumship and to demystify and take away the fear. So thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show.
It's been such a pleasure for me, such a pleasure to connect with you. And I really do hope that your audience gets something from this, that it inspires a sense within them to explore or expand their own spiritual life. I've enjoyed it immensely, so thank you.
Thank you. Wow.